Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The opening of the UN Climate Change Summit this past weekend in Poland was overshadowed by Typhoon Haiyan. A Filipino envoy, Yeb Sano, broke down in tears when describing the devastation and received a standing ovation when he announced that he would fast until a meaningful outcome is in sight. An increase in weather-related disasters, fluctuating temperatures, and rising sea levels are among the discouraging issues being discussed at the two-week summit in Warsaw. But there is some encouraging news. A new report by a Dutch agency found that global greenhouse gas emissions showed signs of slowing in 2012. The slackened pace is not attributed to recession and has in fact occurred as wealth continues to climb among the world's top CO2 emitters. Fred Pierce is environmental consultant for New Scientist. He dug through the optimistic report and is sharing some of his thoughts with us. Fred, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Good to be with you.
Well, first, take us through the numbers. How significant is this slowing of emissions?
It's a slowing of growth. It's not a stopping of growth, so we still have a lot to do. But what we're seeing is what researchers talk about, the decoupling of emissions increases from economic growth. And that really is the holy grail. That's where we've got to get to. We've got to reach the point where we can have increased economic activity, particularly for the developing world, while stopping it being linked to carbon dioxide emissions. And what they saw in 2012 was really very striking. Economic activity rose by 3.5%. You know, back on track, perhaps, after some bad years.
Mm-hmm.
CO2 emissions rose by 1.1%. In other words, less than a third as much. And that's because we're changing the fuels that we use to produce our energy, and we're being more efficient about the way we're using that energy. And that's true in Europe, but it's true in the US now. It's true in China. It's true in large parts of the world. And that doesn't say our problems are over, but it kind of points the way. It shows us that we can do these things without having to sort of rip up everything we thought about how we run the world.
So just to be clear, actual CO2 emissions still increased in 2012, but the rate of the increase has slowed. Now, this is an isolated year. Any reason to believe that this is indicative of a larger trend?
I've spoken to quite a lot of experts about whether this is part of a long-term trend, and most of them believe it is. We are, and have for some years, been starting to use energy more efficiently, and the industrializing countries are getting to the point where they start using it more efficiently. So that looks like a long-term trend. Another long-term trend is going to be moving out of coal. If you look at China or India, they have horrendous problems with smogs, with these really thick smogs that are killing their people in the cities, you know, through the winter. They want to do something about that. They don't want to be killing their people. So they're trying to get out of coal and get into things like natural gas. China's building a huge number of hydroelectric power plants. Now, there are some environmental problems with those, but again, it's a low carbon fuel. Also, looking at nuclear power, half the nuclear power plants in the world now are being built in China. So even in China, which, you know, is perhaps the sort of scariest example of increased emissions around the world, its emissions are now nearly twice those of the US, and they only, you know, they were less than the US until about 5 years ago. Even China is kind of joining in what looks like a kind of silent revolution.
Mm. What about the other two largest emitters, the US and the EU?
Well, the U.S. is fascinating because, I mean, certainly sitting here in Europe, we think of the U.S. as kind of the bad guys. You know, they just you know, keep on pumping out more and more and more, and they don't really care, and they won't sign up to international conventions and all that. But something really very interesting is happening in the U.S. Its emissions last year fell by 4%, and they're now 12% down on the peak, which was in 2007. And that's despite, you know, economic growth. You know, economic growth went up by nearly 3% last year in the U.S., but still emissions fell 4%. Sorry to throw all the numbers at you, but, I mean, it really is the numbers that tell the story. What's happening in the US is you're using energy more efficiently. That's perhaps part of a long-term trend. Switching also to shale gas. Shale gas is having a really big effect. It still causes pollution, but it only causes half as much pollution as coal.
And shale gas, of course, is produced by fracking, which, you know, has its other surface concerns here.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, frack is an issue, and a lot of people in Europe here, as much as in North America, are really opposed to fracking. Mm. And there are a lot of local concerns about it, and those local concerns are legitimate and reasonable and have to be worked through. But the simple fact is, while you got natural gas and while you can exploit it rather than exploiting coal, that's good news.
So shifts in energy sources, maybe shifts in policy in some places, like the EU and US and China particularly. And
yeah, I think everybody's kind of aware of climate change concern, but nobody wants to go in for policies which are economically damaging. So what's really quite good here is that I don't think any of those countries think they're doing anything that's damaging for their economies, but they're finding ways of cutting emissions in any event. Part of it's down to all of us being, not wearing a hair shirt, but kind of thinking a bit more about energy concerns. Just simple things like, hybrid cars are obviously better news. Energy efficient light bulbs, those kind of things. And we all perhaps think about energy prices a bit and, try and do more with less. All these kind of things, you add them up, they do have an effect.
Fred, do these numbers give us a reason to be optimistic?
So I'm kind of guardedly optimistic. I'm not saying the problem's over, not saying it's just all downhill from now on. But we can kind of see the way to do these things. We can kind of see the way to make the really big changes that we need happen. Because, it's good news that emissions only rose 1.1% last year. But if we're going to stop global warming at something like 2 degrees, we've got to be cutting emissions, cutting them by more than 2% every year, year on year, decade on decade, out to the middle of the century. So we've got a lot of work to do. But it begins to show us how we might do it. After all, if the US can start cutting its emissions year on year, then I would guess the rest of the world can as well.
Fred Pearce, environmental consultant for New Scientist, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, thank you.
You can find a link to read Fred's article detailing the new report showing a slowing of greenhouse gas emissions growth at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.